together tonight. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And great to see you this evening. Thank you for being in God's house. And I see section 1 over here is pretty empty. We need somebody to sit in section 1 tomorrow night. Section 2 is just about full. Section 2 did great tonight. Section 3 has got some room available, but section 3 looks good tonight. All right, let's look over here at section 4. Woo! Section 4 is full too. That's wonderful. Even people on the front row, brave people on the front row. I love front row people. Let's see, out of all the front rows, you're the only ones on the front row. Thank you. And you're always on the front row. So when you're that bad, you have to be on the front row. Preacher says, this is your seat. Now this lady, she's a big help in the choir. She keeps all the choir music organized, so I'm not going to pick on her. And your husband here has been a blessing to me. We chatted some today. All right, so this section four is looking great. Section five. Well, we've got people in section five. Praise God. How's everybody feeling in section five over there? They're a pretty quiet group. Yeah. They did get a thumbs up. That's good. Yeah. And then section six. Well, it's about back to that quartet of guys. Yeah. One guy got his green shirt on over there. I like that. And these guys in suits. Wow.
Yes, sir.
All the teen boys stand up. Are they still in this room? The teen boys, not the old men, okay? Let's see the teen boys. If you're 12 to 19, we won't even count the 12-year-olds. So that's where the teen boys are. All the teen boys are on that same row. Okay, you remain standing, please. Where's the teen girls? Where are the teen girls? Are the teen girls inside this room? They're thinking about it. Then they decided to stand up. Good. Okay, we got one over here. See, they're abstaining from the rest of you people. Yeah. And then we got these teen girls right here. That's fantastic. Let's pray over our teenagers right now. Lord, thank you for these beautiful teenagers being here tonight. And I heard about this teen service we're planning, Lord. One of our young men is planning to preach that night, and I hear they're trying to sing that night. It was wonderful to hear them sing that song, Because of Calvary. And then this scripture song, they sang it with the little boys and girls. And Lord, thank you for teenagers that love you and are here on a Sunday night. Oh Lord, out of this group, I pray that just staunch, stalwart Christians would come, that they would keep themselves unspotted from the world. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you're 19 to 32, let's see you tonight. We're just going to go through the age groups. I got a short message. Probably. 19 to 32. If you're 19 to 32, let's see that group. That's called the millennials. Actually, it goes up to 32 and a half. Do we have anyone 19 to 32 and a half? Do we not have anyone in that group? Is that age group allowed to live in Elizabeth City, North Carolina? We have no one in this room, 19 to 32. Well, then you know what we're going to do? We're going to pray for that group to get in church. Now, that's a missing generation right there. That's a missing group. They're a little AWOL tonight. Now, we don't hate them. We love them. But they need to be in church on Sunday night. Now, I'm earnest in this. I mean, we want to pray for this age group. Let's pray. Lord, I'm sorry. We don't have anyone in that age group. Now, Lord, I know we've tried. I know it's this preacher's heart to reach millennials. I know it is. And, Lord, we love every one of them. And we want to reach them. I pray in the next few nights we'll see some of that age group come. Help us that are a little older to make sure we reach out to them in a caring and compassionate way. And I don't know if the teenagers can do anything to get that group here. If they can, I wish they would, Lord. I'm interceding in Jesus' name for that group. I don't know where they are tonight, Lord, but they're not here. Please, Lord, bring some millennials here. Would you please do that? Now, we're asking not for our glory, Lord. We have nothing to glory in. This is for thy glory. And this is for the furtherance of the gospel that we'd make this prayer. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, 32 and a half up to 50. 32 and a half through 50. Would you please stand? Woo! About 200 of them. Okay. Well, not 200. But we've got a good group. Oh, we got one standing. Our deputy CD worker back there. That's wonderful. Miss Ann. All right. I know Brother Roy's over here. He's not felt too good this week yet. But you know, don't shake his hand. That's right. And if you've shook his hand, get to the soap, okay? But there's something I wanted to say to Roy. Brother Roy, this entire weekend has encouraged me. From the moment I drove up on campus, and though I know he's not felt well, he's put everything he's had in this choir meeting. And I appreciate that. I love it when folks go what they call the extra mile, that second mile Christianity. I don't know what the name of this group is. It's not baby boomers. They're a little too young to be baby boomers, but they're not millennials. They're somewhere in between. I don't know exactly. What's the name of this group? Generation Y? Generation X. I believe it is Generation X. Whatever it is, we're glad this group's here. Let's pray for that group right now. Now, y'all pray while I pray, all right? Lord, our pastor's in this group, and we've got a good group of them here. One of our deacons and workers, our preacher's wife. Lord, in some ways, as far as the work of the church, they're big workers. And I pray for your hand to be upon them. And I pray they'd everlastingly be in thy service. Not letting up. But going forward in faith. Thank you, Lord, for this group. For their faithfulness. And may we have more of them this week. In this generation X, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, if you were born in 1964, you just made it into the baby boomers. I know that because I'm a baby boomer, all right? I'm in that group. If you're 51 and up, would you please stand? Let's see this group. 51 and up. Well, I see which is the largest attendance tonight. And they're laughing. They're having a good time. A lot of them are just glad they're able to stand up tonight. And that they're in the right mind tonight. And they are happy. Praise God for this group. Hey, all you young people, I'm in this group. And all you young people, we're proud of y'all. We're proud of you for coming to church tonight. But I'll tell you, it's this group right here that's been the backbone of this church for a while now. And it's not time for this group to let up. Now, physically, they may not be able to do what they used to be able to do. So you younger people are going to carry the chairs more and the tables. I found out that about half of God's work is carrying tables and setting tables up, you know. But this group here, preacher, aren't you proud of these folks for being here? The young at heart. They may not be as young as others, but I'll tell you what, we're proud of y'all being here. And we're glad for your spirit. We're glad for your wisdom. I told folks a long time ago, I said, I can't wait till I'm in my 50s. I said, can't wait till I'm in my 50s. I said, finally in your 50s, you've learned something. I said that as a young man. One man a little bit older, he's up in age a little bit. He said, yeah, when you get in your 50s, you better tell somebody what you know fast because you're going to forget it, you know. And it is. I've forgotten a lot of things these days. No one in the world is smart as a 19-year-old, you know. But this group here, God bless you. Let's pray for this group now. Lord, oh, isn't this a good-looking group, Lord, tonight? It thrills my soul to see my generation trying to be faithful. Now, Lord, to be honest, though we're the largest group in the service tonight, there's so many in our age group that are not here that ought to have been here too. And so we're praying, Lord, for a revival here in Elizabeth City and in this Bible conference for the Bible to be paramount. And the Bible is the mandate of every preacher this week to preach. And we're praying for this group to be steadfast in the work of the Lord. while they have physical abilities, I pray they'll use them for you. And this group, Lord, I believe we see the urgency of getting work done for God right now. Lord, our age group, we've seen revival in the past, and we long to see it again. We long to see our country doing better than what we're doing now. We've seen our country better when we had more respect for you, Lord, and had more respect for the Bible. And our age group, Lord, we're coming humbly before you at your feet tonight, asking, Lord, to please do a mighty work in this Bible conference. Thank you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We found our place now in 2 Timothy. And as you're getting ready for the sermon now, I do want to say a giant thank you to Preacher for letting me come. I'm glad for that. And Brother Jim, thank you for all the work that you do here, the music, and then that healthy spirit that you bring every time. And it's real and genuine in Brother Jim. He's animated and all this, but it's real, and I love it. And then Miss Kathy, who plays so beautifully, and the ladies that sang at the piano tonight, that thrilled my soul. That was wonderful music tonight. And, of course, this youth choir and all that. And then Brother Rick running the sound. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm glad we got a faithful sound man, too. And we appreciate that very much. Hope you'll stop by and get the CDs. I did find a few more of this one. Somebody loves me. Got just a handful more of those and put them in the... See, Miss Ann, I challenged her to get rid of all of them. And when she wasn't looking, I put a few more in there. You know. And so there's some of that. And Mountain Christmas is back there. I do have one Christmas CD back there. Hope you'll stop by there. Any size donation. Miss Ann will help you with that. About 30 minutes after the service ends, I'm going to be leaving. I'll be driving home tonight. And so in the first 30 minutes after the service, if you'd stop by and get those things, we'd appreciate it. Now, let's get in the Bible. This sermon, I was praying all afternoon, thinking about what we ought to look at tonight. We're launching this Bible conference, and so I've got a little sermon I just put together. What should we bring to Bible conference? What should we bring to church? What should we bring to church? Now, I need a little response. You're allowed to respond to me right now. When you're getting ready to go to church, what should you make sure that you're bringing? Somebody talk to me. Well, bring yourself, somebody said. Somebody said, bring your Bible. That's good. What else? Bring a good attitude. Bring what? Bring your reading glasses. Okay. That was from one of our young people. Yeah, I doubt he needs reading glasses. Oh, he wears contacts. Bring your contacts. Yeah, okay. Bring some visitors. That's good. Bring your offering. That's good. What else? Bring an open heart. Bring your children. That's important. And by the way, after church, take them back home. My wife was number 4 out of 5 children. And my wife, her dad was the pastor. And one time they went home. He drove home. And the wife drove home. Her mom. And somehow... one thought they had Renee, and the other one thought they had Renee, and Renee was still at church. They had left. She was about 5 or 6 years old. They left her at church. Well, once you bring your kids, take them back, okay? But bring your kids. Bring the diaper bag. Bring a coupon for the restaurant afterwards. Whatever you need. Bring a dessert if it's dessert Sunday. Well, bring all those things. Well, now, what do we need to bring to the preaching hour each night this week? There's some things found right here in the Bible that we don't need to bring and that we do need to bring this week in Bible conference. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, I charge thee therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I'm glad that this week we're having Bible conference. What is our church built on? Well, we're built on the Bible and the preaching and the teaching of the Bible. And we're built on singing the Bible and singing the great doctrines of the Bible. But it is preaching of the Bible that is paramount in all of our services. Amen. The centerpiece of all of our services is the preaching of the Word. And there are several things in this passage here. If you want a little outline, in verse 1, we got a challenge to hear the important instruction. Verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and at His kingdom. Verse 1 is a challenge. Verse 2, this charge, preach the Word. This charge given to preachers. Preach the Word. Oh, the preacher's got a mandate. He must preach the Word. Oh, the Bible is clear in this. The mandate from God to God's man is he is to preach the Word. So the charge is given to the preacher all about his preaching. Preach the Word. I was the moderator of a group last year called Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And we had 12 different preachers. Had the meeting in Louisville, Kentucky. Had 135 preachers come and all that. We had a good time. Big choir. Good meeting. And so I invited the 12 different preachers. And I kept having phone conferences with the speakers, the 12 speakers. And then individually, I called each of them individually. And I called Tom Wallace, and I called Ed Carter, and all these different men. I said, now, Dr. Wallace, I said, I want to talk to you about what I want you to preach. Oh, it got really quiet on the other end of the phone. He goes, yes, sir. I said, yes, I want to talk to you about your preaching. I said, here is what I want you to preach. He said, yes. I said, I want a definite Bible message. Amen. I said, and I'm not kidding about that. Everyone, and listen, those 12 preachers got up there, and I mean, they brought the Word of God to us. They didn't waste time. No, what great preaching we had at Southwide Baptist Fellowship. Hallelujah. They all preached the Bible. I insisted on it. And listen, in this Bible conference, do you think Brother Kurt Skelly is going to get up here tomorrow night and say, well, let's use Reader's Digest tonight? No, that's not what he's going to do. Somewhere he's going to say, now let's open the Bible. And we're going to read the Bible. We're going to expound the Bible. So in verse 1 now here, we've got a challenge. Verse 2, we've got a charge. The preacher is to preach the Word. And then there's a caution in verse 3. For the time will come. Everybody look at it. Young people, look at it. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Yeah. A little child said, doctrine? That's when you're sick, you get some doctrine. You go to the doctor and get some doctrine. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about sound teaching. Teaching the clear principles of the Word of God. The clear commandments of the Word of God, the clear instructions from the Word of God, the clear teachings. I'll tell you what I believe. I believe the greatest need in pulpits today is doctrinal preaching. I like all kinds of preaching. I like expository preaching. I like textual preaching. I like topical preaching. I like preaching. But I believe it's sound doctrine that is so desperately needed in this hour in America. And I'm so glad for a preacher. Don't we have a preacher here that wants to preach the Bible to us? Yes. And I'm so thankful for our preacher and what he does. But there's a caution in verse 3. The time will come, look at it, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And then in verse 4, there's a condemnation about foolish preaching. Verse 4, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. We've got people in America that's turned from the truth to fables, believing absolute foolishness. I've seen two men in America, so-called preachers, that each of them claimed to be Jesus. And neither one of them are Jesus. One of them's down there in Houston, Texas, he's claiming to be Jesus. He is not Jesus. He claims he has 2 million followers. He might be lying about that too. He's not Jesus. You know, there's over 100 people on the earth right now claiming to be Jesus. None of them are Jesus. He's at the right hand of the Father right now. But people believe in this. There's a so-called church out in San Francisco that they assemble together and they get out records. I'm talking those old pieces of vinyl. Young people, records. Okay? Not CDs, not cassettes, not 8-tracks, records. At this so-called church, they get out these vinyl records and they play music by a dead man. And they say that if they'll listen to enough of his music, that they'll get to go to heaven. Now that's silly. I would go as far as saying that's stupid. That's foolish. We've got all sorts of foolishness being taught in America. And people are tuned into it. I'd say that truth is fallen in the streets. America is very, very confused. One reason, because we rejected the Bible. We've rejected Bible teaching. Well, praise God, we in this room haven't. Amen. We want Bible teaching. We want Bible conference. We love all this. So five things real fast. That's all introduction. I know what time it is. Don't get in too big a hurry. Number one, here's what not to bring to Bible conference. Number one, if you're writing down notes, here's number one. Do not bring itching ears. Don't do that tomorrow night. No, in this passage, that is condemned. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now listen, it is not the preacher's job to entertain us. Now, you know, I'm glad that these preachers that we've got coming have good communication skills and all that. They won't be boring at all. But I'll tell you something. Man-made religion is boring. Man-made religion's drab. But there is nothing boring with the Son of God. And there's nothing boring with the Bible. And so don't bring those itching ears. It's not the preacher's job to entertain us. No, no. He's to preach the Bible to us. And it's not the preacher's job to flatter us at all times. I tried at the beginning of my time here tonight to commend some folks. I commended this young people. You know, what you feed grows. I wanted to feed that group a little bit tonight. I'm glad for them. I just want more of that. I asked the preacher, I said, is that group going to sing again this week? I thought it was fantastic. I'm ready to hear them sing again. It's wonderful. It's good to commend folks. But if you don't get commended this week, are you going to quit coming to church? I was at a church that it was grand opening. The new building, all that sort of thing. Preacher had a list here of all the people that worked on the building. And man, he's going down the list and he's kind of starting with the smallest jobs first, or the people who did the smaller jobs and going on down to the bigger jobs, bigger jobs, bigger jobs. And then all the way down to the guy that was superintendent of the whole thing, one of the church members. And man, he's going down the list and he's getting right down there to the end. And the next one was going to be the guy who supervised all of it. And he got down there and he got carried away with something and never finished the list. He never said thank you publicly at the grand opening and all that of the guy who led the whole effort. Well, you know, I guess it's time for that guy to get upset and just say, well, he didn't appreciate me at all. I'll just quit going to church. You know what? He never said one thing about that. He never brought it up. Came back for Sunday night church, and the preacher got up and said, I made a big error today. He said, I had my list here, and I had everybody. And I got down to the end, and I'd left so-and-so off. I had him down here, and I had all intention to say thank you. And I got carried away, and I forgot to even mention his name. He said, but I'm so glad he's here tonight. And I'm so glad he's not upset with me that I forgot to mention his name. Now listen, a real Christian is not going to get upset if your name doesn't get mentioned. Are we in this for our glory or for God's glory? Yes. And so this week we're not going to have itching ears. We're not here to get flattered. Now I don't think our preacher is going to insult us. Praise God. He's not going to belittle us. I'm glad of that. That wouldn't be right for him to do. But we're not here just to get flattery from the preacher. And then it's not the preacher's job to impress us. You know, sometimes we sit here pretty judgmental, making sure the preacher gets all the grammar right and make sure he says all the words correctly, the right pronunciations. And sometimes we get confused with things. We all do it. We all get a little sidetracked, you know. And sometimes when the preacher's just gotten everything right, we go up to him and say, "Woo, good job, preacher." You know, y'all are not in the audience. Let me tell you a little about my theology based out of the Bible. I try never to call this up here a stage. Now I'm telling you from my heart. I try to always refer to this as a platform. I don't want people to think that there's actors up here on a stage. I know it's a little thing I'm telling you about, but I try to always call this a platform. And I don't really view you as the audience. I call you the congregation. And if I could, as reverently as I know how, our audience tonight is heaven. And it's our Lord. And I'm trying to preach for Him tonight. And I'm trying to lift up Jesus, the Son of God, tonight. I'm trying to explain a few things from the Bible tonight. Amen. Amen to all these things. And so it's not the preacher's job to entertain us. It's not the preacher's job to impress us, though I think he ought to be well prepared and be diligent in his preparation, all that. And it's not the preacher's job to affirm us and everything. I don't want him to dampen us and all that. But listen, he's not here just to make me feel good about myself and you feel good about yourself. No, I'm not supposed to come with itching ears, number one. Number two, here is something I am supposed to bring to church. Number two, bring a sensitive spirit. And what I'm talking about is be ready to receive from the Holy Ghost of God. The night I got saved, there were 12 independent Baptist churches working together, and a preacher got up that they had brought in to preach the Bible, to preach gospel messages. And as he was preaching, I didn't know who it was speaking on the inside to me. But there was somebody speaking on the inside of me. He said, "Now, Byron, what that preacher's saying is right. You better get saved. You better obey the Lord." He was saying on the inside of me, the Holy Spirit said, "Now, Jesus is right." The Holy Spirit was working on the inside. And you see, when I come to church, I ought to be ready. I ought to be sensitive inside here on the inner man to let the Holy Ghost work. Let me read you some verses. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3. "Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." The Spirit of the living God. Not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Let's all beware. Please listen. Let's all beware of our heart getting hard. It's possible right here in church for our hearts to get a little hard. and not be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's working right here in the service. Hebrews 3, 12, 15, and 16. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. This is to Christians. In departing from the living God, while it is said, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Let's not say no to the Holy Ghost working these next few nights in the Bible conference. Amen. So let's bring a sensitive heart. And then number three, let's bring a thirsty soul. The next few nights in this Bible conference that we have, let's bring a thirsty soul. I'm talking about a passionate longing for God to work in our lives and to work in our church. We want God to work in our church. Psalm 42 and verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Psalm 63 and verse 1, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land. May I ask you right now, do you have a real thirsty heart for God tonight? Are you wanting God to work in your life and in life of our church? Now, let's bring that kind of spirit tomorrow night. Let's bring that every time to church. I remember when Pastor Ken Dudley, he was my preacher. He died with cancer. But I remember how he loved a boy. He is my first pastor. And he baptized me. I don't know if he's a great preacher, but he helped me. He is my preacher. And what a Bible teacher he was. And he was just a plodder. I know, looking back, he was just a plodder. He just kept plodding along, but he was on the right trail, friends. Yes, hallelujah. And I remember the night that he taught our church this verse. I remember as a teenager. I remember sitting there as a teenager when he taught us this verse, Philippians 3 and verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Oh, let's bring that thirsty soul. Let's bring that thirsty soul again tomorrow night. Then number four, let's bring a humble spirit. Let's bring a humble spirit to this Bible conference. Let's bring a humble spirit. Set aside all pride. God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to who? To the humble. Oh, yes. James 4 and verse 6. God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. James 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and he shall lift you up. Luke 14, 11. Whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I read about this missionary over there in China, Hudson Taylor. Got over there and got working. I was thinking about Hudson Taylor today. We met some Chinese folk today. Preacher invited them to church. I was thinking, I wish they'd come to church with us. I've been to China. I go to China and I think about Jonathan Goforth, that missionary out of Canada going to China. And I was thinking today about Hudson Taylor. Hudson Taylor over there in China had this marvelous work. He finally had 2,000 missionaries working with him. 2,000 missionaries working in China with him. And he's been interviewed. Hudson Taylor's been interviewed. And he said, they said, now, Hudson Taylor, you've got this great mission work. You've got these 2,000 workers working with you. 2,000 associate missionaries working with you. That's amazing. How you got these 2,000 missionaries? How do you have them? He said, we found two. Listen now. Hudson Taylor said, we found 2,000. We found 2,000 Christians that were small enough to let God work. They were small enough. They were humble enough. They were small enough to let God work. Oh, that's the way we ought to be. Listen, none of us in this room's anything great. It's God that's great. Amen. And friends, God's Bible is great. God's Son is great. God's salvation is great. God's promises are great. Everything about God is great. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, let's come with a broken and contrite spirit. Let's come with a humble spirit. And then lastly, let's come tomorrow night to this Bible conference. Number 5, let's bring a willing mind. Let's bring a willing mind. A mind ready to be changed in more compliance with God. A mind willing to be changed. Let me read you some Bible. Romans 12 and verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Acts 17 and verse 11, these are more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they receive the word with all readiness of mind, and search the scriptures daily, whether these things were so. Ephesians 4, 22 and verse 23, that they put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. When we come to this Bible conference, there's some things not to bring. Let's not bring the old sour attitude. Let's not bring the itching ears. But these things that God has shown us tonight, let's bring all of them. That humble spirit, that mind ready to be changed into more conformity with the Lord, bringing that humble spirit, let's bring the right things to church these next few nights. Would you stand with me, heads bowed, and eyes